Lesson 8. Outcomes. Recognize general container types and their associated behaviors and hazards. Container types and behavior. Once you recognize that a location or occupancy may have hazardous materials, the presence of certain storage vessels, tanks, containers, packages, or vehicles can confirm their presence with certainty. These containers can provide useful information about the materials inside, so it is important for you to recognize the shapes of the different containers and packaging in which hazardous materials are stored and transported, Figure 24.76. Depending on the container and packaging type, hazardous material behavior can vary. Some basic generalizations may be made about a hazmat incident based on the types of container involved. For example, if the incident involves a pressure container, any product released is likely to be a gas or a liquid that rapidly evaporates and expands into a gas or vapor. Once released, the hazardous material will behave like a gas depending on its properties and the environmental conditions at the scene. Table 24.4 provides a basic overview of the four major types of containers and their relationship to aspects of the general behavior model. Note, Table 24.4 is not intended to be comprehensive. In addition to the general container shapes, first responders should be familiar with the basic concepts of pressure and their measurements. Pounds per square inch, psi, kilopascal, kPa, bar, common measurements for pressure in the English or customary system, the International System of Units, SI, and the metric, non-SI, unit, respectively, Table 24.5. This manual uses psi, kPa, to describe pressure. Atmospheric pressure, force exerted by the weight of the atmosphere at the surface of the Earth. Atmospheric pressure is greatest at low altitudes, consequently, its pressure at sea level is used as a standard. At sea level, the atmosphere exerts a pressure of 14.7 psi, 101 kilopascals. A common method of measuring atmospheric pressure is to compare the weight of the atmosphere with the height of a column of mercury. The greater the atmospheric pressure, the taller the column of mercury, Figure 24.77. Pressure at gauge, this describes a unit of pressure relative to the surrounding atmosphere. The customary system unit is pounds per square inch gauge, SIG. The International System of Units, SI, unit is kPa g, the metric, non-SI, unit is bar. For example, at sea level, a reading of 30 SIG, 207 kPa g, 2.07 bar, on a tire gauge represents an absolute pressure of 44.7 psi, 308 kilopascals, 3.08 bar, because the gauge was calibrated to zero in atmospheric pressure of approximately 14.7 psi, 101 kilopascals, 1.01 bar. The sections that follow describe a variety of containers that first responders should be able to identify. Skill Sheet 24-1 provides steps to analyze a hazardous materials incident to identify potential hazards. Containers by transport mode and capacity. Hazmat containers are sometimes classified according to their transport mode, Table 24.6. Highway cargo trucks. Rail cars. Intermodal containers that transfer between modes. Containers can also be classified by their capacity. Bulk packaging refers to a packaging, other than that on a vessel, ship, or barge, in which materials are loaded with no intermediate form of containment. This packaging type includes a transport vehicle or freight container such as a cargo tank, rail car, or portable tank. Intermediate bulk containers, IBCs, and intermodal, IM, containers are also examples. To meet the criteria for bulk packaging, one of the following must be met. Maximum capacity is greater than 119 gallons, 475 L, as a receptacle for a liquid. Maximum net mass is greater than 882 pounds, 440 kilograms, or maximum capacity is greater than 119 gallons, 475 L, as a receptacle for a solid. Water capacity is 1,001 pounds, 500 kilograms, or greater as a receptacle for a gas. Non-bulk packaging is smaller than the minimum criteria established for bulk packaging, Figure 24.78. Drums, boxes, carboys, and bags are examples. Composite packages, packages with an outer packaging and an inner receptacle, and combination packages, multiple packages grouped together in a single outer container, such as bottles of acid packed inside a cardboard box, may also be classified as non-bulk packaging, figure 24.79. Highway cargo trucks. Highway vehicles that transport hazardous materials include cargo tank trucks, also called tank motor vehicles, cargo tanks, and tank trucks, figure 24.80. Dry bulk containers. Compressed gas tube trailers. Mixed load containers, also called box trucks or dry van trucks. These vehicles transport all types of hazardous materials in a wide range of quantities. Depending on the type and quantity of hazardous material, these vehicles may have DOT/TC placards. Even unplacarded highway vehicles may be carrying quantities of hazardous materials, such as fuel in saddle tanks or other materials in levels below placarding requirements. Cargo tank trucks are recognizable because they have construction features, fittings, attachments, or shapes characteristic of their uses. Even if first responders recognize one of the cargo tank trucks described in this section, the process of positive identification must proceed from placards to shipping papers or other formal sources of information. Cargo tank trucks commonly transport bulk amounts of hazardous materials via roadway. Most cargo tank trucks that haul hazardous materials are designed to meet government tank safety specifications. These specifications set minimum tank construction material thicknesses, required safety features, and maximum allowable working pressures. Cargo tank specification and nameplates provide information about the standards to which the container/tank was built, figure 24.81. These plates are usually found on the roadside/driver's side of the vehicle near the dolly leg, landing gear. The two specifications in use are the motor carrier, MC, standards and DOT/TC standards. Cargo tank trucks built to a given specification are designated using the MC or DOT/TC initials followed by a three-digit number identifying the specification, such as MC306 and DOT/TC406. Emergency responders can recognize these cargo tank trucks by their required construction features, fittings, valves, attachments, and shapes, such as ring stiffeners on corrosive liquid tanks and bolted manways or manholes on high-pressure tanks. Tanks not constructed to meet one of the common MC or DOT/TC specifications are commonly referred to as non-spec tanks. Non-spec tanks may haul non-regulated hazardous materials if the tank was designed for a specific purpose and exempted from the DOT/TC requirements. Examples of non-regulated hazards include molten sulfur, asphalt, and milk. Non-hazardous materials may be hauled in either non-spec cargo tank trucks or cargo tank trucks that meet a designated specification, figure 24.82. Rail cars. Rail tank cars carry the bulk of the hazardous materials transported by rail. Some railroad tank cars have capacities of 4,000 to 34,000 gallons, 15142L to 128704L, figure 24.83. Because these cars carry large quantities, an accidental release of gases or liquids can cause many difficulties for responders. By recognizing distinctive railroad cars, first responders can begin the identification process from the greatest possible distance. The type of car gives clues as to what material may be within, as well as the material's weight and volume. Tank cars are divided into the following three main categories. Low-pressure tank cars, also known as general service tank cars, non-pressure tank cars. Pressure tank cars. Cryogenic liquid tank cars. Note: most of the following information on railroad tank cars is courtesy of a general guide to tank cars, prepared by the Union Pacific Railroad, April 2009. Responders can receive valuable information from the markings on railroad tank cars as well as their contents. Reporting marks, railcar initials and numbers. Capacity stencil. Specification marking. The ERG provides a key to these markings in the railcar identification chart, and more information is provided in sections that follow. Additionally, manufacturers' names on cars may provide some contact information. Railcars are normally dedicated to transporting a single material. Dedicated tank cars may have the name of that material painted on the car. DOT/TC only requires a finite number of shipping names to be stenciled on the car. Some companies may also choose to include that information as a courtesy. Reporting marks. Tank cars, like all other freight cars, are marked with their own unique sets of reporting marks. Reporting marks, also called initials and numbers, may be used to obtain information about the car's contents from the railroad's computer, the shipper, Chemtrek, Canutech, or SEDEC. Reporting marks should match the initials and numbers provided on the shipping papers for the car. They are stenciled on both sides, to the left when facing the side of the car, and both ends, upper center, of the tank car tank, figures 24.84A and B. Some shippers and car owners also stencil the top of the car with the car's reporting marks to help identify the car. Capacity stencil. The capacity stencil shows the volume of the tank car tank. The volume in gallons, and sometimes liters, is stenciled on both ends of the car under the car's reporting marks. The capacity in pounds, and sometimes kilograms, is stenciled on the sides of the car under the car's reporting marks. The term load limit may be used to mean the same thing as capacity in pounds or kilograms. For certain tank cars, the water capacity, water weight, of the tank, in pounds, and typically kilograms, is stenciled on the sides of the tank near the center of the car, figure 24.85. Specification marking. The specification marking indicates the standards to which a tank car was built. The marking is stenciled on both sides of the tank. When facing the side of the car, the marking will be to the right, opposite from the reporting marks, figure 24.86. First responders can also get specification information from the railroad, shipper, car owner, or the Association of American Railroads by using the car's reporting marks. Figure 24.87 provides a brief explanation of tank car specification markings. Intermodal containers. An intermodal container is a freight container that is used interchangeably in multiple modes of transport such as rail, highway, and ship. The various types of intermodal containers can be divided into the following two main categories. Freight containers transport a wide range of products, from foodstuffs to dry goods. They come in a variety of types and sizes, most commonly in 20, 40, 45, 48, and 53-foot, 6M, 12M, 14M, 15M, and 16M, lengths. Several common types of freight containers are, figure 24.88. Dry van intermodal containers, sometimes called box containers. Refrigerated intermodal containers, also called reefers. Open-top intermodal containers. Flat intermodal containers. Tank containers, also called intermodal tanks, figure 24.89. Three general classifications of intermodal tank containers are pressure intermodal tanks, specialized intermodal tanks such as cryogenic intermodal tanks and tube modules, low-pressure intermodal tanks, also called non-pressure intermodal tanks. Some intermodal freight containers may contain hazardous materials, figures 24.90A and B. Other intermodal freight containers may contain mixed loads that include both hazardous and non-hazardous materials. With many freight containers, you will not be able to determine by the shape of the container alone whether it contains hazardous materials. Instead, responders should use intermodal container markings or shipping papers, described later in this chapter, to identify the contents of these containers. Shipping papers may not be accurate, and hazardous materials may be shipped illegally in intermodal containers without proper identification. Intermodal tank containers generally have a cylinder enclosed at both ends. First responders may also see tube modules, cryogenic tanks, compartmentalized tanks, or other shapes. Table 24.7 provides examples of the most common types of intermodal tanks. The tank container is placed in frames to protect it and to allow stacking, lifting, and securing. The capacities of these containers ordinarily do not exceed 6,340 gallons, 24,000 L, Table 24.8. In addition to required placards, pressure intermodal tank 100 to 500 psi, 689 kilopascals to 3,447 kilopascals. Reporting markings are generally found on the tank or container, on the right-hand side as you face it from either the sides or the ends. As with tank car reporting marks, You can use this information in conjunction with shipping papers or computer data to identify and verify the contents of the tank or container. Other markings on intermodal containers can also provide specification information, Figure 24.92. Pressure containers. Most people are familiar with compressed gas cylinders. Compressed gas cylinders are pressure containers, designed to hold product under pressure. The product may be a gas, liquefied gas, or a gas dissolved in a liquid, Figure 24.93. Pressure containers have the potential to release a great deal of energy if involved in an incident, Figure 24.94. For example, when stressed, pressure containers can rupture violently due to internal pressure. This can be accelerated if exposed to heat, flame, or mechanical damage. When released, the product will expand rapidly and will travel based on the product's physical and chemical properties and environmental conditions, Figure 24.95. You may not be able to see if the contents of a pressure container are leaking, nor where they might be going. Pressure container examples are provided in Table 24.9. Regardless of size, transportation mode, or content, clues to pressure containers may include the following features. Rounded, almost spherical ends, Figure 24.96. Bolted manways, Figure 24.97. Bolted protective housings, Figure 24.98. Pressure relief devices, Figures 24.99A and B. Pressure gauges, Figure 24.100. First responders at hazmat incidents involving pressure containers need to consider the following common stressors. Note, severe accidents may cause damage to container walls. Thermal, exposure to heat or flame can cause pressure containers to bleed. Chemical, released corrosive gases can cause additional damage to the container. Pressure on the container can increase by the reactions of the contents. Mechanical, accidents may cause mechanical stress, particularly to the container fittings. Pressure containers can experience any type of breach, although releases from pressure relief devices and/or damaged fittings are most common. Runaway cracking is associated with bleeds. Punctures, splits, and tears are rare, although violent accidents such as railway derailments or highway accidents may involve enough force to damage welded seams or cause punctures through pressure container walls. Pressure containers release rapidly expanding gases or liquids that quickly evaporate and expand into gases or vapors. Releases can occur through pressure relief devices, rapid relief, or as leaks through damaged attachments and fittings. Common dispersion patterns from pressure containers include hemispheric pattern, bleed. Cloud, a cloud above the container if there is little wind and the release is intermittent or short in duration. Plume, depending on vapor density, terrain, particularly if vapor density is greater than 1, and wind speed. Cone, a steady release of product from a pressure container as it expands from the point of release outward. The cone will be directed downwind in accordance with the prevailing wind direction. Bulk facility pressure tanks. Fixed facility pressure tanks have pressures of 15 psi, 105 kilopascals, or greater. Examples of pressure containers include horizontal pressure vessels and spherical pressure vessels, Table 24.10. These tanks typically release their products as gases and vapors during rapid relief events, slow leaks from valves and fittings, or violent ruptures, Figure 24.101. Pressure tanks may contain a variety of flammable, toxic, and/or corrosive gases. Pressure tanks are especially dangerous when subjected to heating or fire because they can bleed. Contents leaking from these containers may expand rapidly and displace oxygen, especially in confined spaces. Flammable gases may travel far distances where they can ignite if exposed to an ignition source. Toxic gases may travel far distances and affect people and animals well away from the incident scene. High-pressure tank trucks. High-pressure tank trucks are also known as MC-331, or equivalent, cargo tanks. These tank trucks have pressures typically between 100 to 500 psi, 690 to 3448 kilopascals, with typical capacities between 3,000 to 11,000 gallons, 11,356 to 41,640 L. High-pressure cargo tanks have a single, steel compartment. High-pressure tank trucks transport liquefied gases, such as propane, anhydrous ammonia, and butane, or high-vapor pressure liquids and highly hazardous materials such as parathion. High-pressure bobtail tanks are used for local delivery of liquefied petroleum gas and anhydrous ammonia, Figure 24.102. MC-331 cargo tank trucks have the following features. Bolted manway. Inlet and outlet valves. White or other reflective paint scheme, typically. Large hemispherical heads on both ends. Guard cage around the bottom loading/unloading piping, Figure 24.103. Uninsulated tanks, single-shell vessels. Emergency shutoffs, typically located in the left front and right rear. Permanent markings such as flammable gas, compressed gas, shipping name, or identifiable manufacturer or distributor names. High-pressure tank trucks may experience disintegration, runaway cracking, damage to attachments, punctures, splits, or tears. They may release via violent rupture, rapid relief, or leaks. When exposed to heat or flames, they may bleave, Figure 24.104. Flammable gases/vapors may explode/ignite when coming into contact with an ignition source. Compressed gas/tube trailers. Compressed gas/tube trailers transport individual steel cylinders stacked and mounted together. Typical pressures in the tubes range from 2,400 to 5,000 psi, 16,547 to 34,474 kilopascals, gas only. Each cylinder typically has an overpressure device. Compressed gas/tube trailers carry helium, hydrogen, methane, oxygen, and other gases. Often, they are parked or located at the facility where the gas is used, much like a semi-permanent storage tank, Figure 24.105. Compressed gas/tube trailers typically have the following features. A pressure relief device, PRD, for each cylinder, Figure 24.106. Bolted manway at front or rear. Valves in a protected housing, Figure 24.107. Valves manifold together, Figure 24.108. Permanent markings for the material or ownership that is locally identifiable, including proper shipping name. Compressed gas/tube trailers may experience disintegration, runaway cracking, damage to attachments, punctures, splits or tears. They may release via violent rupture, rapid relief, or leaks. When exposed to heat or flames, they may bleave. Flammable gases may explode/ignite when coming into contact with an ignition source. Because of the high pressures in the tubes, accidental releases from these trailers can be violent, and released gases will expand rapidly. Note, similar to compressed gas/tube trailers, the intermodal tube module transports gases in high-pressure cylinders with MOPS of 2,400 to 5,000 psi, 16,547.